Don't dwell on the past and don't daydream about the future, but concentrate on showing up fully in the present moment. Dig. I love sports. You love sports. It's one love sports. Liverpool losing to Real Madrid. Like Real Madrid has some kind of attachment to this Champions League trophy. I don't know, but I think they played better football on Saturday, a better effective football last Saturday. Liverpool, yes, came close. And Courtois was a hero, but and man of the match too, to boot. But yeah, it's another time, one more for Madrid, one more for Spain. Your thoughts on the weekend, Mario?
It was kind of anticlimactic. I mean,
Yeah.
I kind of knew Madrid was going to win. I predicted them to win. I thought you guys would make it. I thought both teams would make it interesting and be a high scoring game, be that both
Yeah,
defenses
I was hoping for
are
that.
not that good.
We're hoping for that.
Yeah, but I even saw somebody with a Liverpool cake because one of my neighbors makes cakes, and somebody ordered a Liverpool cake from him. That was nice to see. That
Yeah, I'm
was
tired
very
of it.
nice.
So Liverpool had an opportunity to win about four trophies. They went down to the final in both in all of those competitions and came out with two and the two lesser fancied ones. But still I think the team has overachieved. So as a fan, grateful for two more trophies. Much more than I would have expected at the start of the season. Other things on the weekend were the or over the last 7 days were the Celtics and Warriors. Well, Celtics more so overcoming Miami Heat and now the NBA Finals, which we're going to talk about more of later in the show. And we're looking at the French Open coming to a climax here this weekend. And of course, yeah, the Prefontaine Classic last weekend, where the 100-meter women, Elaine Thompson, took that event in, I think, 10.92. Not a particularly fast time, but enough to win. Sha'Carri Richards actually snatched second in that. And Jamaican fast finisher Jackson finished in third place. Sherika Jackson. And in the men event, the men's event, it was Trayvon Brummell that I was speaking of last week. He took home that. And I think it was Fred Curley finishing second. And in third place, it would have been the next American there, Christian Coleman. So that's how that rounded up. No more delay. Time for previews. Okay, previewing this next 7 days, we're looking at, well, it's actually in our sports season, which ends at the end of this month. It's actually 4 weeks to go. So we're getting very, very close to home now. But I want to start with the French Open finals coming up this weekend. So in the women's side of the tournament, it is the final is now set because it is American teen sensation, 18-year-old Coco Gauff, who is in the final, and she'll be taking on world number one and unbeaten in the last, I think it's about 30 matches, matching Serena Williams' streak. Is Iga Swiatek, who will be playing on Sunday. Sorry, Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Swiatek is I think she's Polish. I think she's Polish, yeah. I think she's Polish. And Okogaf is, of course, American. So it's like, he's 21 years of age, and she won the French Open. She has a major race. She won the French Open in 2020 when it was postponed to, I think, September or October because of the pandemic. So Swiatek has been very dominant, as I said, 30 matches unbeaten, you know, and but Coco Gauff has been very impressive in this tournament as well. She has failed to drop a set. She has played 12 sets so far, 6 matches, 12 sets. Nobody has forced her to a third set. She's been looking awesome. But I mean, she's been a sensation for a while, since she was 15 or 16 year old, when she was the youngest qualifier to make the Wimbledon tennis, well, the event, the championship round of the event, and she actually took out Venus Williams in that run, and has been promising and threatening since then, but now has finally made a final, a major tennis final. So that's big bee in her bonnet there. So looking forward to see that matchup. I mean, could be very interesting. I think maybe Swiatek will take it. Coco Gauff has looked really good recently, but she's also been helped by some of the favorites dropping out, either by being upset or due to injury. So that has helped her a lot. But it'll be good if her momentum takes her into winning this and becoming and confirming her promise as a teenage powerhouse. So looking forward to that. On the men's side of us, it is down to the semifinals, which will be played tomorrow. Now, the semifinals, we'll see. First up, there is, let's see who plays tomorrow. First up in the men's semifinals tomorrow, it would be Rafael Nadal. Yeah, Rafael Nadal, 36. Actually, tomorrow, while he's playing the semifinal, Rafael Nadal becomes 36. And he's world number 5. He'll be playing the world number 3, Alexander Zverev from Germany. And Zverev is about 25 now, yeah. So 11 years, Rafa's junior. They'll be playing tomorrow. Zverev has been there or thereabout last year, winning the Olympic title, beating Novak Djokovic, world number 1 at the time. And this year, he has been hot and cold, but during this tournament, he has showed up better. And will be taking on Nadal. But I favor Nadal to go through there in that matchup. This is his pet event. He has won this more than anybody else. Nobody has owned a tournament like Rafa has owned this. And then in the next semifinal, it will be Casper Ruud. Casper Ruud is 23 years of age. Casper Ruud is from Norway, and he'll be facing Marin Cilic from Croatia. Casper Ruud is ranked or seeded number 8 in this tournament, while Marin Cilic is seeded number 20. Cilic is 33 years of age. So he's been around for a while. He's almost, yes, 3 years, Rafa's junior. So, but, and he has powerful server, recent years, not as powerful as was before, but he's really hungry in this tournament and surprising a lot of people. Nobody would have guessed he'd have reached so far in this tournament to get to the semifinals. I favor him to go through too. So I'm thinking that it might be a Marin Cilic and Rafael Nadal final in Sunday's final match. So that's how the picture looks in the French Open. That's a good roundup. Yeah. Yes, Mario.
Yeah, I was about to say that even though I'm bringing Gauff to win, I actually feel like Swiatek will actually have an advantage over her somehow.
Yeah.
But I am hoping that Gauff. I just don't, for some reason, I just don't see her beating that somebody that much more experienced than her.
Yes. Yeah, it is her first final. I mean, it's rough, you know, but It'll be good. It'll be a nice story for her to break through. But I still think the odds are against her to win. I'll definitely be cheering for her, but I don't have high expectations. But whichever way it goes, I'm just hoping that we have a real competitive final. I mean, in any sport at all, any sporting event, despite who I'm cheering for, my greatest hope is always for it to be very competitive and entertaining. But let's run the 2-minute drill. And the 2-minute drill this week, we'll be looking at first we take a look at the world football across the globe. And Mario will be giving us a quick roundup of different soccer leagues in progress at the moment and what's going on. But he only has 2 minutes to do so. So we'll be putting him under some manners. Saying to see how he can execute. So Mario, you have 2 minutes beginning now.
All right. First and foremost, I want to shout out to the Wydad Casablanca team or Wydad Athletic team for beating Al Ahly in the African Champions League finals, the CAF Champions League finals. It's their third title of all time. They're one of those teams that are always in competition for it. Mm. And Al Ahly's biggest mistake was the name on their match. They walked into the final thinking that they already won just from stepping on the field and wearing that badge because they're the Real Madrid or Manchester United of Africa. So that's their loss. Okay. Shout out to the Seattle Sounders in MLS, becoming the first US team, the first team other than a Mexican team to win the CONCACAF Champions League. It's been over 11 years now, not counting the years way before it was called the CONCACAF Champions League, but it's been 11 years now since Mexican teams have dominated. And Jamaican, we had a team in the final once and lost.
A minute ago?
Yeah, we're good. But yes, those are the two major trophies that have been lifted so far. And in Asia, before we leave Africa. In the South African League, Orlando Pirates and Kaizer Chiefs fire on the managers. And in the Japanese League, shout out to Makashima Antlers. You're still running things and we're back to where we're supposed to be in that top three spot. So that's just a roundup of all of the leagues that are currently in the world.
Nothing happening in Brazil or Argentina?
Nothing exciting yet. They're midway through their season. Nobody's really kicked on to show anything as yet.
Okay, and you don't know anything about like Middle East?
Yeah, like I said, Middle East and Asia right now are in mid-season. That's why I shout out to the Japanese league. So there's nothing really to kick on about it.
Okay. All right, good. Good stuff. We do another 2-minute drill. And this time we're looking at the off-season, the transfer window, and what's going on in European clubs. Latest news, moves, or observations on what's happening in the off-season for the European clubs. Your time, Mark.
All right, so PSG needs to start out selling players before they start bringing anybody. Milan, I hope they sign Neymar because with them being taken over. Shout out to Chelsea. I'm confirming their Ousmane Dembele signing from Barcelona to Chelsea, so I don't have a problem with that. They're both teams that I support. And I do think Ousmane has basically been in jail at Barca. Barca has held him back, so I do like him going to Chelsea. Shout out to Man United.
Dembele going to Chelsea? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That's confirmed so far. That's one of them that's confirmed. There's a lot that's out there.
Yeah.
Shout out to Madrid for clearing out a lot of the other members of their squad. I'd like to see where Isco and Bale and Hazard and those guys go.
You know, Rudiger gone to Madrid.
Yeah, I know. I was about to. That's why I started with the Madrid squad.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So Rudiger, as they say, is at Madrid. Madrid, I hope you realize that you were sold fool's gold, even though you bought him for free, but he's basically robbing you blind with his wages. Rudiger's defensive faults have been protected by Chelsea's back three lineup. And now putting him in a back four alongside David Alaba, he will be exposed next year. Bayern has some huge problems with the directions they're going in. They're unwilling to re-sign Lewandowski, so Barca is free to sign him. But Barca can't come up with the funds. Madrid just might jump in and exchange him for Benzema, who knows. But right now, there's a lot of rumors. Tchouaméni from Monaco, who I think personally is overrated, is confirmed to go to Real Madrid. So they're starting to replenish that midfield with Camavinga, Valverde, and Tchouaméni. But those are the ones that are confirmed so far that I think are relevant to speak of.
Okay, awesome. Wow. The no mention there of anything regarding Liverpool, but I'm patient. So I'll listen to hear what's coming up. We got concerned because something needs to happen there. And I hope the loss in Champions League final will send that message to them. Clear.
Mane might leave for Bayern, but like I said, it's more confirmation, just to really say.
Right. The NBA Finals starts tonight starting in Golden State, because I think Golden State has the home advantage for this series. So it starts tonight with the Boston Celtics being led by Jason Tatum, who is averaging 27 points per game for the playoffs. And of course, the Steph Curry-led Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry is averaging about 26 points per game. What I want to look at, Mario, is what do you believe is the winning strategy for each team? How should Boston approach it? What should be their approach if they want to have the best chance of winning? And what should be the same for Golden State?
For Golden State, don't miss. End of story. For Celtics, don't miss. You don't have any defensive options. You're not a team that can go towards a big man. Do not miss. They have one strategy. Hit more shots than the other team. Granted, you're equipped to do that in some sense, but you're not beating this team in terms of energy. In terms of youth, because they're just as young as you, because their star players are younger than yours.
You think Golden State is a good defensive team?
No, that's why I said they shouldn't miss. No, I think they're a good enough defensive team to not like go down by 20.
Okay.
Because again, they can throw athletic young guys at the problem.
Okay. Boston.
But Boston now has options. Boston, do not getting a shootout with the Golden State Warriors on a consistent basis. You're not that consistent of a three-point team. Good three-point shooting team, but not that consistent to be going into a shootout. Dominate where you're given a chance to dominate, on the glass. I know that Robert Williams is not really an offensive big. He's a defensive big. But that's going to give you an advantage. A lot of second chance shots will fall to you because it's either Draymond or Kevin. Al Horford might have to be your third scorer or even second scorer if you can. Because this is no longer about who should be the superstar. This is about what advantage do I have. So if Jason Tatum have to drop 20, Jalen have to drop 20, and Al Horford have to drop the 50, then you have to do that because the one advantage you have is your size. And I expect you to play good defense against Golden State, but you have to take paints in the point is the most important thing for Celtic.
Mm-hmm.
Shooting up three-pointers to keep yourself in at the same level as Golden State or close in scoreline, but dominate the paint.
Okay. All right. So it sounds to me like you're favoring Celtics in the series based on the comments that you've made, saying that Golden State need to don't miss. You know, it sounds like really they don't have much margin for error. They don't really have a defense. It says good enough, but not anywhere to match Boston. So it sounds to me like you're favoring Celtics to take the series. I think I heard you asking for it, so I'm obliged to give my quick thoughts on this series. Yeah, we have a youngish Celtics team here going up against a not it's a pretty young Golden State team in some ways, but then the core elements are still there in Draymond Green, Steph Curry, and essentially the Splash Brothers, to Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. So they're still there, the core of the team, but they have been, and then even Kevin Looney is still there, but they have been joined by some valuable, athletic, and skilled youngsters in Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins. And I think even James Wiseman is in the camp. So they have a lot of talent there. So very, very interesting. But this is what it comes down to. Yes, Celtics has a superior defense, and that will bother the Golden State Warriors. To me, if Celtics aim to win this series, they have to go back to the Toronto Raptors playbook. They don't have a Kawhi Leonard, but Toronto Raptors frustrated Golden State Warriors. And yes, Golden State Warriors was compromised a bit by the lack of by injuries to Kevin Durant and to Klay Thompson back in 2019.
And Boogie also.
Yeah, Boogie was out, but Boogie was not a major factor.
He was your center at the time.
Kevin Looney was still. So, I mean, we were hopeful as to what he could contribute. You know? And he was looking good. Looking like he could make a be a factor. But point is that Boston Celtics has to borrow from that playbook. They have to look to see how Raptors were able to frustrate Golden State offense. I know that he has not proven, meaning Steph Curry has not proven himself to be a clutch shooter, performer. And when the offense relies on him solely, he doesn't tend to either. So they have to look back at the playbook and see how they are going to be able to slow down the Golden State Warriors and frustrate them. They have good wing defense, and the strength of Celtics is their wing defense. I think they do have defense in the painted area, but it's not as strong as the wing. I think the wing defense is very strong. Jason Tatum has to be very consistent. You know, he has to be more consistent. They're going to. Consistent in the effort, not necessarily the result. I don't necessarily mean you have to score 30 points a game. Would be great. Not going to complain for that, but you have to put up the shots, good quality shots. You have to find your shots, and you have to be in. You have to insist on imposing yourself on the game. Okay. Same for Jaylen Brown. The problem with the Celtics that they're facing is that I think all of their starters this season have had injury issues in the playoff. Have lost game time due to injuries. Whether it be Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Al Horford, Robert Williams, all of them, you know, have had injury issues. On the side of the Golden State Warriors, not that they have a great offense or great anything in terms of their play. I don't think they're great in any way, especially compared to previous teams. But what they do have is a championship experience and poise, I hope. Well, I know, because the coach that they have reinforces that, and they've been there, done that. And I think that championship experience and edge, maybe much similar to what we saw with Real Madrid, may make a difference in this series. So if I had to call it, I'll give Golden State Warriors the edge. And then they have home court advantage. So that's how I see it playing out. Okay, UFC. I think we miscalled it last week again by announcing the Volkov Rosenstrike match for last week. It's actually this Saturday, June 4th. But we gave our thoughts on that already. And so we look forward to that matchup this weekend in the UFC. But of course, next week we'll be talking about the UFC. I think, where is it at now? 270. Is it 275? Where at, Mario?
Five. Yeah, it's 275.
Yeah.
The 11th of June.
Yeah, Texera. And then the one after that would be even more mouthwatering.
This one with Texera is very, is actually a really lovely car.
Okay. Well, I'm also eyeing Adesanya and Holloway on 276. So, 275.
Oh, no, that card is going to be a banger. That card is going to be. Just yeah. Hope, like, there's a lot more. And the guy who beat Izzy, the only person to ever beat Izzy in his kickboxing career, is also on that card.
Oh, man. This is, it's loaded. I mean, and the UFC definitely knows how to stop the thing, because they're putting up all of these great fights. For the summer, you know, like blockbusters for the summer. For the next,
yeah, this guy,
like 5-6 UFCs are they're just really stacked, you know. So yeah, really good. But we did give our opinions on the Rozenstruik Volkov matchup Saturday. You want to remind listeners?
Like I said. With Volkov, this seems to be one of those fights where it's fight for your career.
Right.
And with Jorginho Rozenstruik to get back into title contention. Right. Volkov has been around for a while now, and he's lost to the guys who are at the top, even in title fights. So this fight, I think if he wins this fight, I don't know if they give him one more fight to see if he can get a title shot. And then he's out. But if he loses this fight, then maybe Dana just either cuts him or let him see out in the rest of the fights on his contract, feeding more young guys who want to make a name for themselves. And like I said, for Rozenstruik, this is just seeming like a warm-up fight for a test for a title fight.
Okay. So we look forward to that matchup coming up in the UFC. That's it for our previews. This week, time for Fast Break. Okay, welcome to Fast Break. Well, this week on Fast Break, we're looking at AC Milan being sold for $1.3 billion. And the question I have for you, Mario. Yes, your club sold for $3.1 billion. Is $1.3 billion a fair price for AC Milan?
Absolutely.
Hmm.
There's four clubs in football. I'll even throw in five. Six. Who are never a bad. No matter how much you spend on them, you will get it.
Let me try to guess them.
Yeah.
Real Madrid?
That's one.
Barcelona?
That's two.
Manchester United?
That's three.
Liverpool?
That's four.
Chelsea?
No. No. Chelsea, PSG, and Man City, you are not included in this conversation.
Oh, really? You're not included?
Yes. None of those three are included. AC Milan.
Okay.
Those clubs have set history, so have such a great history in European football. That's the reason why Madrid pay attention to the champions and whatever.
What about Bayern Munich? You forget them.
I would throw them in there, but the reason why I didn't throw them in there is because, you know, it's still kind of with them, it's still more of they're a 50 plus ownership, so it's a bit different.
Okay.
Where no matter who buys the club, you only own half the club.
Yes.
Because there's 50% of the club is allocated to the fans, the 50 plus one.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's throw Bayern in there, seven. Mm-hmm. Those clubs have set such a great history that even if they fall on hard times, like AC Milan has been through some rough patches. Liverpool has just gotten back to their throne as one of the top clubs. no matter what bad man you are going through a bad time right now, and are still one of the best selling jersey clubs in the world,
mm-hmm.
those clubs have set history that is beyond me and you lads.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of age, so they're always, and Ajax is low key here too, but mm-hmm. their league doesn't allow for it. That's why their league as a whole doesn't really push for it.
Yes.
But those clubs have set such a huge history and are a part of the building block of football.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of clubs in football, but there's few clubs that are a part of the building block of the football world. Yeah. Ajax, Bayern, Liverpool, Man U. I would even throw in Inter as well, but the AC Milan have been more dominant than them for European competition.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I give them the edge. Mm-hmm. So those clubs will always be a buy. The question is, is there a lead in a position where you can capitalize quickly off mm-hmm. of that investment? And I'd say yes, because this is the perfect time to invest in Syria.
Mm-hmm. No, the question I was asking really was, is 1.3 billion too cheap?
No.
Compared to Chelsea at 3.9.
No. As a matter of fact, you got a good deal. Chelsea's thing, they're overspent because...
That's what I'm saying. Should they have been sold for more than one?
As in AC Milan or yes. Chelsea?
AC Milan.
Well, no, AC Milan, like I said, you got a fair deal. You didn't overpay for the club and you didn't underpay either.
Mm-hmm.
In Chelsea's case, I think Boley overpaid because Abramovich wanted to leave Chelsea in a situation where they're no longer in debt. Mm-hmm. Meaning that the club only owed Abramovich. The club didn't own a bank, so they're not in a Barca or a Madrid situation where they own a bank or something where... Abramovich basically wanted them to owe him as long as club was successful. But as the years came down, he wanted the club to be more self-sufficient, try to build their own stadium and all of that. And that plan was being executed until the Ukraine war started and Abramovich's assets were seized.
Mm-hmm.
So Abramovich sold the club, and I would say that the extra 1.7 billion is basically mm-hmm. debt owed to Abramovich.
Okay. But you think it's a good price paid for AC Milan, and as you rightly said, you cannot go wrong in buying one of those clubs which form part of the history of football, European football particularly, and is a bedrock.
If PSG go broke right now, they'll disappear again, because Marseille is really that bedrock club of France. Marseille and Lyon.
Right.
If Chelsea go broke or Man City go broke, they will disappear out of existence.
Mm-hmm.
Because Liverpool and Man U are the clubs that who are the flagship clubs of England.
Agreed. That's fast break for you. Super Mario Adventures. Yeah, welcome to Super Mario Adventures. Yeah, Mario, take it away. What do you have for us this week?
Lance, doing the Live Sports podcast on Sunday with Leon. I realized that we're running out of things to speak about on the podcast. And Leon had sent me some Japanese animated shows to watch that were sports-based. Mean that we're coming to the end of the European season, overall sports season.
Mm-hmm.
And usually my time is still fulfilled because there's leagues happening around the world that I was still keep up with. But Leon has given me he knows that I'm a fan of Japanese animation, so is he. And one thing I give the Japanese people is that they can create animations that feel very similar to real life in terms of their story and their approach, because usually you hear animated TV shows, you're thinking superheroes, fantasy, magic, that type of stuff. Nothing grounded in reality. And even though these shows still have a little, because it has to be somewhat unrealistic for it to entertain. And I think Japan has successfully found that balance where they can give you shows that are animated that are still adult themed, meaning that, you know, adults can watch it and you still get a story out of it. And it's still, and they have stuff for kids as well. Now, the three anime that are, well, the two that I wanted to speak about was Ayawashi, and which is about a young guy who has a great deal of potential in terms of playing football in Japan. And he has a, he basically has to learn how to become a footballer rather than just a talent. And his story of coming from a poor background.
Learn to become a professional footballer.
Yes. Because the reason why his high school team lost was because he lost his temper on the field. And the team was depending on him to win. He allowed a goalkeeper to get into his head. And he Zidane, the goalkeeper, headbutt him. And the team lost because of that. He had to learn how to play with others because the high school team he played for, he was a star. They just gave him the ball and got out of the way. So now that a youth club signing, he now has to learn how to play in a playing style. He has to learn how to understand the game because he has raw talent. But he doesn't understand how to play football. So he has to learn the game. So the story is grounded in real life, just like any other young footballer. He calls out different players' names that he's better than. He's like, I'm the new Van Basten, I'm the new Van Nistelrooy, I'm the new Messi. So it's still grounded in reality in how people act. Now, you have some more ridiculous versions of these animations. Like, for example, I don't remember the name of it, but it basically revolves around a guy who has OCD, or not just OCD, but he's also a germaphobe. And you're thinking, Mario, how can a germaphobe play sports, and what, how would it benefit? Well, we might see his germophobia as weird, but it makes him a better dribbler because he doesn't want to be touched when he's on the football field. And I just think that that's ridiculous. So it makes it a bit entertaining. Yeah, so he has better close control dribbling because he does not want to get touched by anybody. He helps over tackles. So there's some ridiculousness to some of it.
Well, they need to put him on the wing. Put him on the wing, or put him in maybe midfield. He doesn't want attacking midfielder. He doesn't want to get touched.
He's already a Japanese youth international in the show, so they're, like I said, they try to ground it in reality, and you get to see his everyday life because outside of the field, he's kind of, like I said, a germaphobe. So he's kind of an outcast at school. So even though he's liked by like the girls at school and stuff, he's such a germaphobe that they find it weird, even though he's a star of the soccer team. So it's kind of like, usually you hear the star of the soccer team is usually a brash type of guy. The typical jock behavior. Confident, brash bone. But this is a quiet, not really outspoken person, just a star on the football field. And then off the field, like, he barely wants to touch him because he's such a girl.
Interesting there. Thank you. Another very interesting story there for Super Mario Adventures. Yeah, animation. Okay, on Time Out this week, we're looking at the predictions for, we have four events so far, and it starts with the NBA Finals Game 2, which is, I think that will be on Sunday. Let me leave that Game 2 for now, because Game 1 is tonight. Let me leave Game 2 for now. Let me go to tennis, because on Saturday morning, the French Open Women's Final is Coco Gauff taking on Iga Swiatek. And I think you did say that you expect Swiatek to take it, even though you'd love for Coco Gauff.
Yeah, I would love for Coco Gauff to win, but I just feel like Swiatek is just in the better position. It was with her experience alone. But if there was ever somebody to break out against.
Yes. Okay. In the UFC on Saturday night, just remind us of what your choice is for the UFC.
Jarzina Rosenstruck, because like I said, Volkova's lost all of the heavy hitters. I just think he's been knocked out too many times. And it's, every time you get knocked out, it gets easier for you to get knocked out.
Yeah.
And the one thing Jarzina Rosenstruck is good at is knocking people out. He's a heavy hitter type of guy. Pure boxer. He doesn't have, I think Volkov is a better skilled fighter, but at his age and with the knockouts that he's taken, Rosenstruck just needs to land that jab. That's how powerful Rosenstruck is.
Okay. Okay. And then on Sunday, I think it would be an afternoon match. It will be French Open men's final. Now, the contestants are not determined yet because the semifinals is tomorrow, where Rafael Nadal will take on Alexander Zverev of Germany. And in the other semifinal, it will be Marin Cilic, from Croatia, will be taking on Casper Ruud from Norway. Now, my prediction is that Marin Cilic will win that matchup and Rafael Nadal will win over Zverev. So it will be a Rafael Nadal and Marin Cilic final. And I expect Rafael Nadal to win and continue his ridiculous record of owning the French Open. In fact, they may have to call it the Rafa Open.
Lance, there's no way Rafa is losing a French Open on the same season that his Real Madrid team in the Champions League. That'll be the last thing to happen.
I saw him at the game. I saw him at the Champions League game.
I can't remember if it was in 2007 was the first time I saw him at a Real Madrid game.
Mm-hmm.
And like ever since I discovered he was a Real Madrid fan, I've had a love-hate relationship with him because I'm a Barca fan, but I'm a huge Nadal fan.
Yes, yes, yes.
So it's like,
Yeah, yeah. He is one of those players who people really love. I mean, because of how he plays. You know, he plays with lots of determination, effort, and, you know, he's a grinder, you know. So very skillful too, but grinder at heart. So, and then the NBA Finals game tour, I think is going to happen Sunday evening. Never mind, what do you have taking game one tonight?
Game one is in Golden State, right?
Right.
All right, give me a Celtics.
Celtics winning game one. Wow, brave call. Which means that automatically you're saying it's Warriors winning game two. Okay. Saturday, Sunday, you're saying Warriors will take. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. All right.
Warriors will take back one of the games at Celtics.
Okay. So it will start the same way. Well, No. It was about to start at win man where Celtics could have gone up, but were threatening to go up in game one. Miami took it, but Celtics took game two. And Miami went up and took back game three. Okay. Awesome stuff. So that ends our overtime session. I'm not gonna take your pick for the competition in the program.
Because
I'm gonna force you to text in so there can be more engagement with the group. So I'm going to force you to text in your prediction choice tomorrow evening. All right, great. But here ends another episode of One Love Sports Show. You know, it's been pleasure sharing with you, all of our listeners. As usual, you know, keep safe. Remember, always remember, it's one love every time.